There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday and live local talk over the next couple of hours. Of course, you're a big part of it. Phone number and text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Before we get into our discussion with Congressman Bradley Byrne, who is in studio right now, I want to remind y'all that on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com, now you can get it other ways if you get our podcast delivered through iTunes or Stitcher, or if you use other mechanisms to get our podcast delivered, you'll get them. But if you want to go to the front page of our website and click the COVID-19 local news tab, all the interviews like our discussion we're about to have with the congressman, our discussions we've had with people from the medical world, from the business world, they're all in one place. I think the fancy word they use online is curate. I'm not fancy, so we just gather them up, and we have them in one place, and you can go to the front page of our website, get those interviews, and find out the facts as it is dealing with COVID-19, coronavirus, in Alabama and in the country. Good to see Congressman Byrne in studio. Thanks for being here.
Good to be with you, Sean. Wish it was under better circumstances.
No joke. Uh-huh. It's, you know, you and I, last time we were talking from Washington, what you're dealing with there, getting the first of the bills, the House working on those bills. I know we have the Senate side I want to talk about with you. But let's get down to what you know in your position as our congressman about the disease itself and the growth. How much is it growing? I guess one of the questions is it actually growing in number of cases, or are we doing better testing and finding out more? What are you hearing?
Well, it's some of both. You know, it's taken a while to get the tests out there, which has been a big frustration of mine and others in Congress. But as you get more tests out there, you're naturally going to get more people testing positive. But because we haven't had this severe social distancing that we're experiencing now, there has been some spread. There's no doubt about it. But we were on the phone yesterday with Dr. Anthony Fauci, you know, who runs NIHID. Everybody's been listening to him a lot. And I am impressed with him. I think he's a truth teller. And he said, here's what we know. We've looked at 70,000 tests administered in the United States. Only 10% of them are positive. So 90% of all the people who are tested come up negative. And I think I told you this last week, 80% of all the people who test positive have no to mild symptoms. So we're talking about a disease that, yes, may be spreading, but as we test for it, we're just seeing what's already spread to a large extent. And we're going to see that here in this area, by the way. You know, we've got a new case in Mobile yesterday and a case in Baldwin County over the weekend. But think about it. In all of Southwest Alabama, we have two confirmed cases.
Right.
There are more out there. As we do testing, we're going to find them.
Sure.
Now, both people who've been tested positive in this area were not hospitalized. Pray God they don't have to be hospitalized. They're being treated at home. That's kind of the norm here.
Yeah.
The people who have to be treated in a severe fashion typically are older folks. Now, we've done a pretty good job in this area of keeping it out of our nursing homes. Think of how many nursing homes we have in this area.
I know.
One place
it's a fear for a lot of us with older family members.
Well, and the best thing we can all do for them is to stay away.
I know. It's hard.
It's hard to do if it's your grandmother or whatever, but that's the best thing you can do to stay away. But Dr. Fauci told a bunch of us last week something else, because he was making some extrapolations about what's happening and what's not. And one member of Congress got up and said, well, how can you know if we don't have adequate testing? He said, you can watch emergency rooms and ICU beds, okay?
Okay.
So, well, what happens if somebody... If this thing got rampant and people were real sick, where are they going to go? Hospitals and emergency rooms and ICU. And so he's watching that. And so far, now I'm underscoring, so far, we haven't outstripped that. We have three times the number of ICU beds in the United States per capita that Italy does. Okay.
Okay.
So part of Italy's problem is they don't have enough infrastructure.
Right. Well, that's one of the things I was wondering was what happened in Italy. And watching China, we can talk about the timeline for China, but it feels to me from the outside looking in that the Italy situation was a catalyst for a lot of what happened in Washington. Is that fair?
Yes, and there was this report that came out from a British group that I think alarmed a lot of people. But let's look at Italy for a second.
Okay.
Italy has, on a per capita basis, very close ties with China, okay? They did not have any travel restrictions for a long time.
Okay.
So you have lots of people going back and forth between China and Italy. They have the oldest population of any European country, okay, number two. Number three, we now know they don't have the ICU bed infrastructure that we have in the United States. You add all that together, then you can see how they would have the problem they have. We don't have that problem in the United States.
So we have, okay, so this is a piece of information I did not have. We have three times per capita, three times the ICU bed infrastructure than Italy does.
That's right.
Because that's one of the things that really scared me coming out, hearing out of Italy, and I hear flattening the curve and all that discussion. I said, okay, what the real issue here is having medical infrastructure for cases. But it is not apples to apples, Italy to the United States.
That's right. And okay. That's one of the things that was missing here. The other
good
thing,
piece
that,
of information, yeah.
The other thing that we've got to make sure we do is that we get adequate numbers of the PPEs out to the healthcare providers. They're not going to administer you a test if they don't have their PPE, you know. So it's not just the test. We have to make sure that the healthcare providers
there's a whole package
have
of
the
things.
That's yeah. right. And so we're getting all that together, and we're beginning to get stuff in, actually, from other countries. We're flying in. So our infrastructure capacity, which is the best in the world, is ramping mm-hmm. up and doing what we do so very well. And I think that's a note of positive news and hope for all of us. But I want to squelch a local rumor, if I can.
Yes. Before I even ask the question.
This idea that the federal government has diverted tests or PPEs or whatever from Mobile to go to other places is not true.
This is not true. The claim that the test or whatever, the PPEs that were ordered have been diverted by the feds.
Not true. And we checked it out.
No
truth to it. We went everywhere you're supposed to go to
right.
check it out. Now, let's put it all into context. Here's what is the truth. We don't have enough tests for the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everywhere is screaming for tests. Everywhere. As we have ramped up production by the CDC, which has been behind the eight ball, and a lot of us Democrats and Republicans have been complaining about that, and as we have more private providers of tests come onto the market, then the amount of testing is going to ramp up significantly. But remember that statistic from Dr. Fauci. Hmm. 90% of the people who are being tested are testing negative. So we are testing some people out there, we know, who are looking for peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're supposed to be testing people who've got symptoms or who've been exposed to somebody with a disease.
Well, Congressman, we've been told that you have to exhibit the symptoms of coronavirus, not just the symptoms of being sick, the symptoms of coronavirus, then those are the people that should get tested, right?
That's what or if you've been exposed.
Exposed, right.
Yeah, those are the two people we should be.
Not just that I haven't felt great lately, let me just make sure I don't have coronavirus.
Or I'm scared and I want to find out. I'm just scared. I don't have any symptoms and not have been around anybody. I'm just part of the overall panic in the American system. Now, we're all hearing down here about what's happened to the Church of the Highlands in Birmingham. Those tests are coming from a private provider. They're not coming from CDC, okay? So what they're able to do, the Church of the Highlands, is go out and buy these tests
okay.
from a private company and then provide these tests for whoever drives up. If you go to a local hospital here, they don't do it that way. They're going to say, do you have symptoms? Have you been exposed?
Right.
And if you don't fit that, they're going to say, we don't have a test for you. We need to focus our tests on the people that do have symptoms or have been exposed.
Right. If we only have so many tests, like you said we don't have enough tests for all the people in the United
right.
States, really, then you need to allocate them. I guess that's what we're talking about. We need to allocate. There's a triage. We need to sacrifice peace of mind for scarcity of these
and
tests.
Look, I want everybody to have peace of mind, but I want to get the tests to the people who need them right now as we're rationing tests. Now, the number of tests that are coming on the market are expanding like dramatically every day. So we're going to get to the point, I predict, it may be a couple weeks away, but we get to the point where, hey, if Bradley Byrne wants peace of mind, he can just drive up and get his test, drive up to Walmart or wherever in the parking lot, and they give me a test. We're just not at that point yet. But remember, 90% of all people tested, this is Dr. Fauci speaking, are testing negative. So
that's why
we need to be focused on where the real need is here. Now, I'm actually encouraged by a lot of the things that Dr. Fauci's been telling us, those of us in Congress, the last week or so. Not that he hasn't been out there very clear about we need to do social distance and all that, but the more information we get, the more accurate information we get, the more we all need to take some comfort about where we are. America's in a strong position to push back against this disease. And I'm not saying I'm not concerned about it. I just don't want us to panic.
Right.
There's no reason to buy all the meat up in the shopping center. The food supply is fine.
Right.
My son-in-law is the manager for a paper mill in Northwest Alabama that makes toilet paper.
Yes.
They're turning out lots of toilet paper every day.
Good.
The supply of toilet paper in America is healthy. We need to all use our common sense, and some people, like a lot of young people down at the beach over the last week or so, have not been using very good sense. And so sometimes government has to come in and say, no, we're not going to let you do that anymore, to protect everybody, not just to protect this group or that group, to protect everybody. So I actually think that we're making some progress here. Now, what are we doing to the economy?
Well, that's why we'll run to the news break here. I want to come back because, yeah, that's the question that has a lot of us baffled, that we're in this fantastic economy with low, low unemployment, things going gangbusters, and then we wake up 2 weeks later and, wow, coming right back. More with Congressman Byrne right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Guest in the studio, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne here at home. And what I like, too, is you and I were just having a conversation. So you're going. Is it get in trouble if I give your lunch plans? Or
I'm going to meet Boss.
Going to meet Boss.
Going to get some carry out. And I want to encourage everybody to do that with whichever their favorite local restaurants
are. That's right.
Look, we love these local restaurants. We love going to them. They need us right now. Let's go out and spend some money with them.
Yep.
I'm still hungry.
Let's go spend some money and have a great lunch.
Have a great lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're getting some stuff brought in here.
Yep.
And I think that's what we all should be doing. There's no reason for us to hunker down and not take advantage of great food that's all around us in this area. So let's all go out to these places and take out a good meal and sit at home and enjoy the meal and our families.
Everything that you've done today, well, I don't know what you did until you got here, but since you've been here and what I've done, I think we're in compliance with what Dr. Fauci said, right? I mean, you and I are sitting here probably 7 feet apart from each other in the studio. You can see people wonder, we got all kind of disinfecting in the studio. We wipe down all the handles, do all those things. And you can go safely do the takeaway food, you know? So
by the way, there's no data that shows that it transmits by food. Unless somebody's got it, sneezes on the food or something.
Right. But
just regular food, no. There's no indication that it transmits by food.
Because you were saying before, let's make good choices, let's not panic. And that's what I think plays in here.
Exactly right.
And you're sitting in the studio. You're not sitting at home or an office in D.C. away from everybody. You're sitting right here in my studio, and you're fixing to go to meet Boss.
Yeah. And earlier this week, I did a teletown hall and had 3,700 people on the line. I'm trying to get information out there to people. And by my behavior, model to people, what's the responsible way to do this?
Yeah.
And so, I'm probably spending more time at home than I have in a very long time.
We all have, yeah.
But, my dear wife is humoring me by watching old James Bond movies with me. But we've had fun,
it's
been
stuff.
Fun.
Pretty good. I never knew we had that in common. That's one of my things. So, all right, I want to talk about this, the two tracks. We talked about the first track being the coronavirus itself, what we're doing here to get the test, to try to figure out where it's spreading, if it is, those things.
And now, I'm optimistic we're going to beat this thing. I really am.
And we're going to beat it in, of course, everybody's going to ask, you can't set that up and me not ask you how long.
Well, and Dr. Fauci's been very clear about this. We don't know. Now, there's a new study out that's actually very hopeful. We've been guessing at this, but this is a preliminary not necessarily definitive, but this indicates that warm, humid weather dramatically slows the transmission of this disease.
Well, we should be a safe place
and
down here.
Mobile will be the epicenter of non-disease if that's the case. And so there's every hope that as we get closer to summertime, this thing's going to slow down. And Dr. Fauci's not said this, but he keeps saying 8 weeks from last week. Well, go do your look at the calendar. That means he's looking to begin in the summer, and this thing starts slowing down. Now, he was asked yesterday in one of our briefings with him, when do we know that we've turned the corner? And he said, we know it when the number of new cases starts declining.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not keeping up with how many new cases there are day by day.
Right.
There's going to come a point in time when we're going to reach a peak number, and then it'll start to decline. That's not one day. You got to watch
a trend. Yeah.
But if it starts trending down over a period of time, then we've turned the corner. And that's when we can start talking about, at least for the summer and early fall, some changes in the way we're doing things. Now, this thing is not going to be dead.
Right.
Then. It'll come back in the fall. But we'll be so much further ahead of where we were this winter and spring. So I think what he's trying to tell us is we think this thing's going to start dying down during the summertime, and we can dial back on some of the stuff that we're doing. Now, how much harm have we done to the economy, however long this takes?
Just to today, how much, I mean, watching Wall Street and watching Airport Boulevard, you know, the damage has been...
Or the phone calls that I'm getting from people all over my district.
I can only imagine, because there's a whole bunch of, and I know big business is suffering, but a whole bunch of small business folks out here that are really hurting.
Well, I'm worried about all of them, but I worry about small businesses more because they just don't have the resources to be able to get through stuff like this, like businesses do. So that's why they're having this discussion with the Senate right now in Washington over a bill to try to provide some cushion to the American economy. I've got some concerns about the bill, but I will say this. The process the Senate is using to come up with their bill is a lot better than the process the House used last week to come up with that phase two bill, which was awful, really terrible.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier in the week and talked about it. I hadn't even talked to you, but this position you're in, they could put some horrible stuff in a bill, and if you vote against that bill, the headline's not AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne votes against bill because of this horrible stuff over here. It's AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne doesn't vote to help out small business, doesn't vote to help out people, you know?
Right. Well, that bill was given to us at 12:45 last Friday night, and it was to be voted on by, the vote was going to stop at 10:00 Friday morning. It's 100-plus pages long, very dense language. One of the things I committed to the people of this district was that I wasn't going to vote on legislation to find out what's in it afterwards.
Right.
So for that reason alone, but I had been talking to small business trade associations in Washington, and they gave me a heads up about some things that were bad for small businesses in there. And I actually talked with Secretary Mnuchin about it before we voted and expressed to him my concern about that. He told me I was wrong, and then over the weekend and Monday, they found out enough problems with it after talking to some of those same trade associations that on Monday there was a 90-page, quote, technical corrections bill, close quote.
Technical corrections bill.
Yeah, yeah. When it's 90 pages, it's probably not just technical,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So they made some improvements in the bill and passed it under what we call unanimous consent Monday night, so we didn't all have to be there. I still have some concerns about it, but at least the process the Senate is using on this economic stimulus bill is a wide open process. More people are having input in it. They're allowing House members who are not there to have input in what they're doing, for example. So I think we're going to have a more open process. We'll know more about it when it comes up for a vote. Now, when will they vote? We don't know. The earliest would be this weekend, more likely Monday or Tuesday. The moment they vote, they'll give us probably a 24-hour notice, and there's no way to vote remotely in the House. We have to go back.
Got to go back. Got to get on an airplane.
Got to get on an airplane. Got to fly into Reagan National Airport, drive into the Capitol Complex. Now, they're going to have a very long vote series so that we're not all in there at the same time.
Okay.
Trickle in and out. And I'm told that we're going to vote on that unless there's another piece of coronavirus legislation, and then we'll literally leave. Because they don't want a bunch of us on the floor. We have two members that we know have the disease, and we don't want people hanging out for long periods of time there.
Well, y'all do, like I've watched before where you, I mean, but it's usually a tighter, you know, y'all kind of come in as it gets closer and closer to vote time. The house fills up. But then, you know, once the votes are done, then you go back to your office or you going back? Or?
Well, sometimes you have multiple bills. So you go out there and you're voting what we call a vote series. You may be out there for 45 minutes, an hour. What they don't want us to do is be out there in big groups doing what we usually do, which is yak, you know, we're yakking at one another.
Oh, I watched y'all from the balcony there, yes.
Why are you voting for this? Why are you voting against that? That sort of thing. Don't want us doing that. You know, go out there and vote and leave.
That'll be weird to watch.
Well, it's already weird.
It is weird.
It could get much weirder, but, I mean, we were listening to one public health expert get up and say, you know, we basically need people over 60-year-olds to be hermits. And I looked around the room. I said, well, there's like half the people in this room who are representing the United States.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So it's a, you know, it's an interesting way of looking at things in Washington. But I'm, you know, I think we're reasonably safe up there. I really do. They take, we have an attending physician's office. They're cleaning everything down.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had people in the complex now for over a week. So there's just, there's no lingering germs or anything out there. It's just whatever we bring in.
Right.
And I'm not worried about the vast majority of us, but obviously, we had two members that didn't know when they came into the to Congress last week that they had it and turned out to have it.
So we talk about this vote. Whenever it happens, you'll get called back up to do it. I do want to talk about what how this might look, and we'll talk about the checks and all that. But what is the time frame? Just a general idea with your experience up there. Let's say a vote is done Monday or Tuesday. How do you get that many checks cut? Or does it come that way? That seems cumbersome to put them in the mail. And
well, the timing's going to be the first week, I think, of April for the first check, and then another check sometime in May. And it's coming.
Do you think that can be turned around?
Yeah, I think they can do it. We'll see if they actually do it. But they understand the quicker the money gets out there, the better. Now, here's my concern about it. I know people need help out there, but if I'm making $60,000 a year and I have not lost my job, why am I getting a check?
I agree.
Whereas if my neighbor was making $60,000 a year and he lost his job, why isn't he getting a bigger check?
Preach.
We should be.
But is that possible? Am I so cynical that I don't think we can pull that off? At the federal level, so ham-fisted, we can't pull that off.
You just change the unemployment insurance law so that you get 100% of what you are making up to a certain point, and we subsidize the unemployment insurance program so that they have the money to pay that out. Because under unemployment insurance, you know, you don't get 100% of what you make. But we could subsidize and allow you to do that. So the guy next door to me who lost his job gets 100% of what he should be getting, not some proportion of that. And I think that would be a more targeted way of doing it.
Well, I agree. It's great to hear you say that. We're going to come back and talk more about this with Congressman Byrne. Also, your text questions at 343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, I see some folks with the city of Mobile also getting in on the discussion of Mobile Strong and getting the takeout food today. What we should have done, I should have just talked to everybody before and just had everything brought right here to the station. We could all had dinner on the grounds here at FM Talk 106.5. We're good at that. Congressman Byrne, our guest this hour, and talking about the two parts of this discussion. Actually, there may be more than that, but fighting the actual virus. And then the second part we're talking about is the economy and the effects here. That while the virus may affect, I mean, as soon as I pick a percentage, somebody will correct me, but 10%, 15%, 25% of our population with family and friends of people that get COVID-19. But 100% of folks right here in AL1 are affected by this economy, right?
Yeah, I think we're all in one way or the other.
And that's one of the things we're working together here at home to try to help out our fellow small businesses. Right. But you're talking about the small business angle in these bills. And the checks and the that folks will get. You brought up a great point, and I think this is wise. But I think because of that wisdom and the nuance of it, it'll get crushed in Washington. This idea of
The initial draft of the bill is just send money out to everybody. I'm just registering my concern about that. have concerns about the details, with the devil's in the details about these loans are going to be put out there by the federal government to small businesses.
Right. So I'm already getting calls about that. Small business loans. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that there will be loans available, that there'll be a no interest on them, long-term payback. And there's even a suggestion that if you are keeping your people on payroll, that to the extent you're keeping people on payroll and you're using the loan for that, that that will be forgiven. So the devil's in the details. Let's wait till we read every sentence here. But that actually does make some sense to me, that that will give some real help to small businesses, because they're not just loans or loans. So a big portion can be forgiven if you're keeping your folks on payroll, and we want to keep people on payroll.
That's the number one worry, I think, of most of the small business folks, is what am I going to do about my people?
Well, that's part of the reason for the loans. Now, I've also been a pretty big advocate in trying to put language in the bill that will particularly target money to people in restaurants, hospitality, et cetera, because they're being particularly hard hit.
Big time.
And I've been hearing from restaurant owners all over this area. Mayor Stimson told me we had 17,000 people working in restaurants just in the city of Mobile. Obviously, I've heard a lot from people at the beach who are very concerned. So we're trying to have, and there are others of other members of Congress that represent resort areas that we're pushing pretty hard. We had a letter that went out yesterday. So we think we may have some special provisions in there for places like that, because they were having a great season and would have a great season.
They had a great season. We've had a great economy. That's one of the things that I wonder, that the fundamentals of the economy have not, this is my opinion, and the fundamentals of the economy have not changed.
No.
This virus changed it. It seems to me, and I know this may be, this may be naive, but it seems like when you remove the fear, at some point, whenever we get there down the road, remove the COVID-19 fear from that, you still have good fundamentals. This is not like after the collapse in 07.
Yeah. Some of the economists, Larry Kudlow works for the president, speaking to a group of us, are predicting that there will be a rapid rebound. Now, the only reason I get a little skeptical of that is how long it goes on, because I think the longer it goes on, the more difficult we have the rebound. The shorter we keep this, the quicker we get to the rebound. Now, Larry Kudlow made a very good point. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, when we got the February jobs report, it was one of the best jobs reports we've ever had.
Right.
That same week, when you looked at the number of unemployment claims, they were at a record low. Now we're just going in the exact opposite direction in 2 weeks.
Right. Hence the whiplash for business and all the people that we go from, you had to hide to not find a job, to some predictions. They're coming, some of them coming from the White House, coming from Mnuchin. We could look at, we're double digits easily and on beyond in unemployment rates.
We could see a substantial increase in the unemployment rate. We went through this down here in 2010 with the oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going through that with the people down at the beach, and we had to bring in lots of mental health help because we had increased number of people with clinical depression, people started self-medicating with drugs, et cetera, and we had an increase in the suicide rate.
Suicides.
We need to, as a nation, start thinking ahead about the public health consequence on the mental health side as much as we're thinking about COVID-19.
It's probably well said. It's analogous in the fact that the people didn't, this all of a sudden happened. Right? This COVID-19 is very similar to Deepwater Horizon. There's through no fault of the people, this thing that they cannot control happens.
Right.
And absolutely changes the face of their business, their jobs, in the case of the oil spill, their lifestyle.
Yeah, the money came in too late for a lot of them through the settlement process, whereas we're trying to hurry money out there from the federal government to people to cushion the blow that we did not cushion down on the beach because of the oil spill. So hopefully we're moving fast enough and effectively to keep people from suffering. But people are going to suffer, and we need to be prepared for that and do what we can to help.
How do we do that? And I agree with you. It's good to hear you talk about the mental health issue. That seems to be the buzzword always. It should be even more now with this kind of news and what's going on. So how do you do that? How do you, from Washington, how do you do that to make a difference?
Well, I think in some of the money we're putting out there, we need to start putting more money out to states so that will help subsidize their efforts through their state departments of mental health. There was a meeting with all the chiefs of staffs of the congressional offices this morning with Joe Bonner, my predecessor, And my chief brought up the concern about mental health. And, of course, Joe remembered well what we went through down here in 2010. And so I know that he and Governor Ivey are talking about it. But I think while we're putting out money out there to combat COVID-19, we need to put some federal money out there to help the states as they battle with what we know are going to be a substantial increase in mental health issues.
And I think it's probably incumbent upon us, the citizens, to offer that help to people that might need it, to make it to make it okay. You know, it's tough to make it okay for people.
Well, I've never had to do it, but just imagine being somebody who has a great business, things are going great guns, and then boom, through no fault of your own, in this case it's because the government's clamping down on social distancing, we're putting you out of business or substantially cutting back on your business. We're a bigger country than that, and I think there's a way for all of us to kind of pitch in to help out. Now, I'm worried that there's going to be a fourth phase, that what we're doing is deemed to be not enough because it's not targeted.
Okay.
And I'm worried that there'll be a fourth bill down the road. But let's wait and see. We'll see what comes out of this effort in the Senate.
To say we don't know the scope and the time period for the when COVID-19 goes away, I'm sure we don't know that same scope for the economy and the ill effects here.
Well, if it's over on May the 1st, I think we know what that means. If it's over or not over until the end of July, that's a different thing altogether. So I'm hoping and praying for somewhere around the 1st of May. If we're really lucky, middle of April. But remember, what we got to see is the number of new cases start going down in a real trend. Then we know that we've turned the corner.
So that is, from Dr. Fauci, that's it. That's the indicator. That's good. I think we want something concrete to hold on to. You're talking about small business folks that are losing stuff right now. You're talking to a lot of my listeners, and you're giving some real metrics. You're talking to a lot of these folks too. They want to know.
And I want everybody to know that while I know how difficult this is because I'm hearing from people, and it's difficult for everybody, but really difficult for small business people and restaurant owners, et cetera. I'm actually hopeful that the steps we're taking right now are going to get us to that point sooner rather than later. But we got to wait to get there and be prepared for the number of cases to zoom up as we zoom up testing.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's spreading that fast. That just means the testing's catching up with reality. So we don't need to panic because of that. I actually think, I was talking to Mayor Stimson about it the other day, I think getting the real picture from testing what's really out there is actually healthy. That tells us what the reality is.
Yeah, it's truth.
And reality, once we get to reality, once we all know what the truth is, I think we're a strong enough country to deal with it. And I'm looking at what's happening in our area. I have a lot of faith in our healthcare providers in this area that they will respond in the way they need to when it's time for them to do it.
All right. Before we wrap up, I want to go back to something you said just at the beginning of our discussion of this hour. Some pieces of information I think are key. Number one, when we look, and people like me have been guilty of it, look at Italy and go, oh my gosh, look what happened in Italy. That's what's coming. You had a piece of information here on the infrastructure in hospitals, I think is an important takeaway.
We have three times the number of ICU beds in America per capita that Italy has. They have a much older population than we have, and older people are more susceptible to the extreme forms of this disease. And they waited too long to cut off their travel and have travel restrictions with China. And China's where this all started. So I think there's some significant differences between Italy and the United States.
Not apples to apples.
Not apples to apples.
Then you mentioned another piece of information because, I mean, it's been reported in the news, let alone the rumor mill going on, that it was a federal diversion of test kits and maybe the PPEs away from Mobile to other places.
Not true. There is a general problem with regard to that all across America, but nothing's been diverted from Mobile as a result of anything else. There are no diversions.
Because you heard that and you said y'all went and looked. You investigated that specifically.
Yeah, I went to my staff and I said, if this is true, I'm going to be mad as you know what, and we're going to go to CDC and raise unholy hell.
Right.
And we found out it just wasn't true. And as many problems as I've got with CDC, and I've been pretty vocal about that,
yes,
if I thought there was a specific effort to divert things from Mobile, I'd be pretty hot about it, but it turns out that's not true. And the other statistic I gave you is that Dr. Fauci told us 90% of all people tested are testing negative. So we got a lot of people we know, we can't quantify it specifically. We have a lot of people we know that are getting tested for peace of mind. There's nothing wrong with that. But every time they
maybe
get
right
a test,
now is not the right time for
there's
that.
There's not another test for somebody that really needs it. Now, one last thing is, I hope soon we're going to know exactly how many tests we've done in Alabama. We don't know that yet. The number I was giving you from Dr. Fauci was nationwide.
Right.
I'd like to know, all right, of all the tests we've given in Alabama, how many have been positive? And I hope soon here the State Department of Public Health are going to be able to tell us that.
Good stuff. I appreciate your time. I know you are getting ready to go get some meat, boss.
Yes, sir.
So I will not stand in between you and lunch because we're fixing to have ours delivered as well. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you, Sean, for what you're doing because you're getting information out to people. And the one thing people need the most right now is accurate information.
Well said. Thank you for bringing it to us.
Good.
All right. Coming right back. We'll go to the phones next.